Good morning and welcome. Thank you for being here today. If you're a guest or visiting with us, we're just so thankful that you're with us and hope that you will spend some time chatting with us after for us to get to know you. A couple announcements before we get started here. The first is that I want to invite you this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in our lower lobby fellowship space where we had our breakfast this morning for one more midweek session before we end 2024. We had to reschedule something, so we're having a special session December 11th, and one of my friends and colleagues, Robert Murphy, he's a doctoral student at Hebrew Union, and he is going to wrap up our whole conversation on how we got the Bible and how the Bible came to us, the tried and true series that we have been doing on Scripture. And so that will be this Wednesday, 7 o'clock, December 11th. He's an expert in that field, in studying Hebrew, Greek, and so we get to learn from someone actually studying that at that high level, as opposed to myself, and so you get to hear from a real expert talk about those things, and so I hope you'll be there with us Wednesday night. And then the second thing I want to invite you to is put on your calendars for our Christmas Eve service, which, of course, is, you know the date, is on Christmas Eve. Doors open at 4:30. And we'll have hot chocolate, coffee, and just some time of visiting. And then sharply at 5, we'll get started with our service. And it'll be a briefer service, probably 45 minutes. And then after that, we'll have a small reception for those who would like to stay for a few minutes for Sue Price's cookies. So we're excited about that, as always. And so we have flyers out in the foyer. Encourage you. We've sent these out to a couple mail routes in the area to advertise this event, but we also encourage you. There's a couple hundred of them out there still. If you want to take one of these flyers, hand them to a friend, neighbor, family member, coworker, and invite them to come and join us. It's a great time to invite people to church because sometimes people are looking for a place to go for Christmas Eve. And so it's a candlelit service. Last year was very meaningful. It was a great time of just being together and recognizing the birth of Christ. And so if you can be at that, please do, and please invite some of your friends as well. And so this service, it's all about reflecting at the end of the year, because that's what we do. With the end of the year comes reflection, sort of just naturally. What happened in the year? What did I accomplish? Did I meet my goals? Did I fail to meet my goals? Did I experience loss? Did I experience gain? End of year always brings this season and moment of reflection and evaluation. But it also usually gives us an opportunity to look forward. What do I want to do different in 2025? Are there some goals that were unmet from this year that I failed to meet that I want to lean into in the coming year? Are there some things I want to do better? Are there some new experiences I want to have? Some relationships I want to deepen? Just always a natural time of reflection, of goal setting, or maybe it's lack of, maybe you want to have less goals and less things like that that you're worried about. But it's an opportunity to evaluate and an opportunity to look forward. Some elementary school kids once were asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And oftentimes, you expect elementary school kids to say something like Toby said, I want to be a veterinarian so that I can help pets get better. Right? That's what you're hoping for when a teacher does that type of assignment in school. Or maybe like Violet who said, I want to be a chef because I like to cook. But this is what Albert said. Albert said, I want to be a person who stays home and does nothing. Can you relate to Albert? Maybe that's your goals for the year. Some of you retired folks who aren't really retired, I know many of you, maybe you're thinking, I just want to stay home a little bit more and rest and actually retire. And then maybe there's some of us who think, I want to retire at 20 and just be done with it. And just relax at home. Or maybe with Alina, she says this, I found this one interesting. She said, when I grow up, I want to be a customer in a store. I will buy broccoli, tomatoes, and carrots. And then when I get home, I will make soup. A lofty goal, okay? Or Lucas, he says, when I grow up, I'm going to work with rocks. I think, okay, he wants to be a geologist. He says, for example, I'm going to throw them in the water so it creates a massive splash. Another lofty goal. And then Jake, and I love this one, he said, when I grow up, I am 7 and I want to be 8. Now these might be some kind of low bars to reach as far as goals. As you think about what you're looking forward in the coming year, maybe you need some of those, right? It's not bad to have these. Sometimes it's just, I just want to exist. I just want to find rest in Christ. I just want to grow. And it might be, maybe there's nothing specific. Maybe it is just, I need to unplug and to not do as much. I need to be less hurried. I need to slow down. And so maybe it is lowering the bar of expectations for ourselves sometimes, as these goals were pretty low bars. Or perhaps for you, it's setting some goals that raising the expectations, getting more involved, taking a next step. All right, we set goals and deadlines, or we set bars high, bars low. All those are for our purpose to grow and to develop as human beings. And if you're a follower of Jesus, it's to grow closer to Christ, follow more closely to Him. But as we set goals, sometimes we set them too high. We can't reach them. We end up feeling guilty. We end up looking at the end of the year and think, why did I think I could accomplish all that I did? You do that? I do that sometimes. I set too many goals. And then at the end of the year, thinking that wasn't even possible to accomplish. Or maybe you set them too high, like some of these goals we've set, and said, did I really accomplish anything to just say I just want to exist in 2025? Or maybe sometimes I think when we set goals, maybe we miss the point altogether. And a lot of fitness plans and a lot of health plans sometimes, right, we're often guilty of just making it calorie-based or just making it work out, and sometimes we miss the point of health, for example. So sometimes when we set goals, we miss the point. I want to look at a passage this morning before we evaluate our year at Northeast, and I want to, as we think about our year here as a church, I want to look at a passage in Philippians chapter 3 where Paul is dealing with some people who set some goals where they just totally miss the point, as we often do ourselves when we set goals and look to do new things or to set new objectives. And so if we look over at Philippians chapter 3, Paul was dealing with some people who were trying to make the Old Testament law, trying to enforce that onto new Gentile Christians. And so the Jews, given the law in Old Testament history thousands of years before, a law was delivered by God on a mountain called Sinai, and God delivered that law. And then when Christ came, He transformed, He fulfilled the law. Yet there were some Jewish Christians who had converted to Christianity, yet they felt that the ultimate goal was to still follow Christ, yes, but follow Him through keeping every part of the law. And so there were things that were specific to that law and that covenant in the Old Testament that were not to be carried over to new Gentile Christians. Perhaps it would remain as part of the Jewish Christian identity, but they took a step further, said things like circumcision, things like dietary restrictions that were common and that were part of a Jew's identity, an Israelite's identity. There were those in the church trying to force those things onto some of the Gentile Christians who didn't have that ethnic history of Judaism. And so Paul comes, he's writing to them here in Philippians 3, and he's pressing into them. And he says in verse 4 that they were using these things as sort of as the mark of an accomplishment in a sense. Like they kept the law so perfectly and they had these outward signs of that. He says, if someone thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, he says, I have more. And he presses into them. He says, you want people to keep these certain things and you boast about your religiosity and your standard keeping and your law keeping. He said, but if you want to measure up to that standard, Paul says, I have more. He goes on, he says, I was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, which was, of course, one of those religious teachers and religious elite who were known for trying to keep the law perfectly and enforcing that standard on other people. And Paul was one of those people. He was one of the religious elite. So he says, you want to compare resumes as far as law keeping goes? He says, I was a Pharisee and my resume was longer than yours, is essentially what he's saying. And he's not saying that to boast, but he's trying to show them something here. And what he's trying to show them is ultimately that their goals were off-centered. They were missing the point. The point of following Christ was not to keep the law. The law was always supposed to lead to Christ and fulfilled in Christ. And so he continues on in verse 6, and he says this. He says, as for zeal, as he keeps pointing out his resume, he says, I was persecuting the church. He said, I was doing it pretty well. I was accomplishing my goal. He says, as for the righteous, based on the law, I was faultless. In verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, he says, I want to take that resume. I just want to crumble it up and throw it out. And in fact, that's basically what he says just here in a moment. He said, these things I considered gains. I considered them the great accomplishments of his faith at that time. But now he realizes what a loss they were, because when he personally had set those goals were off-centered and they were missing the point. And ultimately, we're not getting him to where he needed to get to until Christ literally blinded him on the side of the road and made him reflect on his life goals. And so he continues in verse 8. He says, What is more? I now consider everything a loss. Right? All the accomplishment, all the goals fulfilled. And not that we shouldn't set goals, by the way, but all the accomplishments, all those things are just, they're in the background. They shouldn't be providing us worth. They shouldn't be providing they shouldn't be defining our identity. Instead, they're all loss. He said, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In other words, that's what's most important. And all the other things, they might be good and they may be fine, but ultimately it doesn't mean anything unless we're finding our identity in Christ, unless those things are helping us know Christ at a deeper level. He said, for Christ's sake, I have lost all things. Now, not literally, but what he's saying is I've set those things aside. They're no longer defining me. They're no longer giving me life like they used to give. They're no longer directing my being and my life and my schedule. But instead, everything's centered around Christ. He says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. In other words, he's crumbling up that old resume, crumbling up that old goal sheet, those old objectives that he thought were the most important, and throwing them away. He says, now everything is centered around Christ. And now, don't misunderstand. I don't think he's saying don't set goals or don't try to accomplish things. I think, obviously, that's part of being human. It's even part of following Jesus is setting some goals sometimes and trying to grow. But what his point is don't miss the point. Don't miss the center of it all, which is Christ, which we so often do is we try to keep up with all that we're responsible for, keep up with all that we are personally trying to achieve. It's so easy to miss the point, which is Christ himself. He says what we're ultimately need to be working towards is knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. And ultimately, our greatest, not accomplishment, but the greatest direction we can move in life is to be found in him. To be found in him. To be embraced by God. I think of Luke 15, the prodigal son. A son who had taken everything, went and spent his inheritance on worthless things and squandered it. And then he comes back and he's received into the Father's arms, embraced by the Father. And in that moment, that prodigal son is found. And that's what the Father says in that story. He says, my son was lost, but now he's found. Now maybe this year, or maybe right now, you're not going through one of those big moments. You're not out squandering an inheritance. But we can do that in smaller ways where we get off focus, we get off centered from our goal before us. And whenever we do that, we're called to recenter, to come back into the Father's arms, be embraced by him. And when we do that, we're in the state of being found. When our priorities are lining up with our Father's priorities, when my priorities align with our master teacher, our rabbi, Jesus Christ, the one who we are following, our teacher, to be found by him. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation, even in the lows, right? This doesn't just mean that everything is going to be high and wonderful and peaceful, Right? We're able to find a peace that surpasses understanding, but we're also following Jesus into difficult times as well. And part of being found is being able to recognize those difficult times and being able to see God there with us in the valley. He says, and ultimately becoming like him in his death and somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And he goes on, he says, not that I have already obtained this, right? The perfect state we're going to be one day when Jesus returns and gives an accounting of all things on the day of judgment. And that he calls his own and transforms us into a body that we don't now understand, into a state of reality we don't now understand. We call it heaven, but we don't have a full picture of that in Scripture. He says, I haven't obtained the resurrection fully yet. It's an already not yet tension in Scripture, right? In one sense, we have received resurrection through faith, repentance, and baptism in Christ. But in another sense, that's something to be obtained in the future as well. And there's several aspects in Scripture. We've received it. We've received a down payment, but not yet fully. He says, not that I've already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, which is to know Christ, to be found by him. But I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, there's some of us in this room, we may need to be taken hold of by Christ. Christ is actively pursuing you to follow him. Maybe that's what your year's been all about. But then there's others of us who have been taken hold of by Christ, but for one reason or another, we've allowed various priorities or various things to pull us away from that. So maybe the new year, maybe today, is about recentering, allowing Christ to take hold of you once again, and for you to take a hold of his purpose, plan, his goals for your life. When I think of plan, I don't believe in determinism. I don't believe in the fact that we don't have free will. There's a lot to talk about there, but I do think this is oftentimes when we're talking about God's plan for your life, we're talking about his will, what he wants for your life. And that's going to look different for a lot of us, but there's going to be a lot of similarities too. But ultimately, what he wants for your life is for you to be centered, your life to be totally centered on him in a right relationship, right partnership with him. That we would be disciples, as we say here at Northeast, that we'd be disciples who find and follow Jesus, who are being changed by Jesus, and are joining the mission of Jesus. That's God's plan for our lives. That's what he wants for us. That's going to look different in every context, in every family, in every individual's life. But that's ultimately, that's the will of God, that we'd find and follow Jesus, be changed by him, and join his mission in a right relationship and partnership with him. And so maybe there's some of that evaluation that needs to happen. Right? What trajectory am I on? I'm following something. Is it Jesus? Is he the one who is discipling us and shaping us and forming us to be what we're intended to be as human beings? In Philippians chapter 3:13, he continues on. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have already taken hold of this. And none of us do in this lifetime. Now, frankly, there's some of us who are closer to that than others. But we're all on a journey. We're all hopefully moving towards God. If we're not, we're moving away from him. We're walking away from following Jesus. He says, but one thing I do know, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. He said, yeah, we've not completed the journey, but here's what I can just do what's right in front of me, which is this, is forget what's behind. And what he means there is those past accomplishments and what he was talking about earlier in the chapter. That old resume that I used to hold on to, that used to give me pride, setting that aside. That old way of seeking God, which was for him, it was legalism. It was trying to find God just through law keeping and missing the actual point. He says, forget that, put that aside, and then strain forward to what is ahead. Now, whatever it is for us, we're able to do that this morning. We're able to lay aside whatever's holding us back from fully following Jesus and fully being found in him and press forward to what is ahead. Now, I want to say again, that doesn't mean we don't have goals for our life, but hopefully those goals are centered around following Jesus. It also doesn't mean when he says forget what is behind, it doesn't mean we don't acknowledge the past. It doesn't mean we don't revisit the past sometimes. Because Paul himself did that. In fact, he does that in this chapter as he tells his own testimony and where he's been and what he's accomplished. And we need to do that as well, because we learn about ourselves through revisiting the past. We learn what causes us to tick. We learn what the ways we learn our own personal rhythms for how we've sought after God and how we've wandered from God. As we say, if we don't learn history, it's doomed to repeat itself. It's important to know our own personal histories. And we do that in community with one another as we learn and understand ourselves better. But what we do is we set aside those old ways of accomplishing things and those old ways of seeking God that didn't actually get us to where we want to go, whether that be legalism or whether that be self-righteousness or even not seeing ourselves as God sees us to begin with. And Paul continues on. He says, but I press on toward the goal to win the prize. And of course, he means to win through Christ, to receive the gift of salvation, to receive the gift of resurrection. He says, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And in some point, you think differently that to God will make clear to you. And the last thing he says, only let us live up to what we had already attained. Right? You can't start at the end of the process. You can't start as an 80-year-old seasoned Christian full of the fruits of the Spirit. We just have to live up to where we are now and what the grace of God has done in us now. And look to where God is leading us at this moment and be able to take the next step. So this morning, as we think about the year behind us, 2024, we still have some year ahead of us, but as we think about the year coming, I challenge you to evaluate and process the past. What Paul's saying here is not to disregard the past as if it doesn't mean anything. But we evaluate it, we process it, we learn from it, and then we always move forward. We can't live in a guilty conscience for things we've already asked God for forgiveness of. We can't live in anxiousness of, are we ever going to improve? But instead, we trust Jesus. We take steps forward and always move forward. So as we ask this as a church this morning, what has God worked through us in 2024? We want to watch a video, a slideshow, as we get to see some of the things. We saw some of this downstairs. There's a shortened version of it now and has a few different photos in there that were from downstairs. But we're going to take a moment and just watch that video. And as you do this, as we watch this video, think about this. Evaluate, process the past. Think of all that God has done among us. Not things we have accomplished, because I think if we base it on that, we realize we've accomplished very little. But when we consider what God has done among us, we realize that God is working actively in a huge and immense ways. So let's watch this video for the next few moments. I guess if you can start it back there.
Oh, my God.
So as we ask this question, as we've reflected, we've looked at some of the things that we have done this year. Hopefully those things have been centered on God and following Jesus. It's certainly the intention. As we think about how has God worked through us in 2024, I think of several, just even things that seem mundane and small, but have eternal impact. I think about just the fact that God has continued to bring us young adults and the growing ministry that we have of our young adult ministry. And we've made, as part of what we've done, we've made layout changes. We've tried to make room for our growing young adult ministry. You look out in the foyer and things that we've tried to do to better welcome guests as guests keep coming in, and the work that Chad St. Clair does with our hospitality ministry and many others do with him as well. I think about healthy transitions that have taken place and growth among our ministry staff and administration staff. I think about the incredible turnouts, how God has just brought people to us to reach and impact through events throughout the year, just like our Easter service, our Christmas Eve service, our fall festival. And of course, one of the big highlights this year was our Vacation Bible School, led by Lisa Wasilewski and a team and others who worked hard in the name of Christ to center us, to help our kids set their sights on Christ. And how many guests we had from that we're able to meet, to encourage, uplift. And I think about just that whole partnership that we had with the Madison Church as we were striving to reach out to our community, build a reputation with our community. I think we already saw some of the fruits of that at our fall festival as we had a huge outpouring of guests, people that we had met through the summer, and those relationships begin to build. We can enter in disciple-making relationships, encourage each other, or encourage them, lead people to Christ. And so as we think of that, and all those are small, mundane ways, but ways in which we have participated in to grow closer to Christ, to keep us focused on our mission, which is, again, to love God, grow deeper, share Jesus. But ultimately what that's doing is helping people love God, helping people grow deeper, and helping people share Jesus, join in the mission of Jesus. And so we ask the question then, what does God have in store for us for 2025? And I'd be a fool if I tried to stand up here this morning and predicted that to you, wouldn't I? I'm not a prophet. I don't know what God's going to do among us this year. I think as we've set ourselves in his hands, I think that he's going to do some pretty big things for us. So a few administrative things, again, small, mundane ways that we're trying to set ourselves in a way to be able to be used by God. One thing that we're working on in 2025 and have worked on in 2024 in preparation for 25 is to think about next steps. This past year, this partnership with Madison, I mentioned some statistics of how many of you were involved in a personal way in that week, whether you volunteered or whether you just showed up and participated, and through that volunteering by interacting with others. And our numbers were huge for that. And we don't care about numbers, but what we saw was that percentage of involvement, participation, volunteerism, service, where we are stepping up to join the mission of Jesus. And we want to make that process helpful and simple. And so something that has been being worked on by staff and by the tech crew and others is to come up with an easy way for you to do that. Right now, currently, there is a Share Jesus page where you sign up for things. And since then, we have decided that worked for a long time, but decided as we've had more complex things and if we've grown in numbers, that we want to change that up for a little bit. And so right now, you have a QR code for the bulletin. You might have a QR code for prayer list, a QR code for guest check-in, QR code for things like life group or different things we might sign up for. And the heart was, how do we make that simpler? And so again, not a big profound thing that we've done, but how do we do something small and simple to make that process easy for us to be more involved here at Northeast? And so one thing that we've done, Nick Hutchins put these together and got these printed. As you'll see in front of your pew there, you have a little card like this, and it's got this same QR code that you'll see positioned around the building. And this will be the only QR code you see around the building, so it's going to go to the same place every time. If you want to, you can go ahead and pull out your phones and test this out with us. And we're going to crash the servers this morning by doing that. I don't think so. Rich Clyde puts that together, him and Dina, and I imagine they built one that can handle it. They're wonderful and very qualified people to do that, and have done a great job. And so when you click that QR code, it's going to take you to a link tree, what's called a link tree, a page with all these different links. And so where would you like to go? You go to guest check-in. Our guests can check in there. We'll encourage them during our greeting. You can see our bulletin each week that Kaylee Tran, our office manager, will upload. You can go straight to our website. You can take a link straight to our giving. We'll have similar information you see on the screens during our giving portion of service. But what we want to focus on for a second is this next step tab. And that was sort of the heart of this small organization thing that we wanted to do. And what that'll do, it's a new page on our website to replace the old Share Jesus page where you used to sign up for events. And it's going to take you, this page, when you go to it, it's going to look like this. It'll say first steps. And it'll say, are you new to Northeast? Here are some first steps you can take to get involved. And so as a way to reach those and show hospitality with simple, concise language, if people want to ask a question, meet with a minister or an elder, join in person, it'll take them to the services page, or perhaps maybe one of the easiest ways for people to get plugged in is to ask about a life group. Maybe they're more likely to meet in a home than they are to come to service. But then at the bottom of the page, you'll scroll, and then that's our next steps. And this is important because this is really what we're talking about for the majority of people in this room, is how do I take a next step in my involvement at Northeast? How do I get more involved? And this is where currently is on our Share Jesus page. Well, not currently. In the past, it was on our Share Jesus page. Now, this is sort of the heart of this page where you can go up. You want to join a hospitality team. December 10th, you got City Gospel Mission this week. I want to sign up for that. This is the page you will go to. And you can find that on any of the QR codes throughout the building and as it flashes up. And you can just go to our website. And as you'll see, the tab, now there's a tab that says Next Steps. And it'll take you to this platform. And so, again, this is just a piece of technology. It's a piece of communication. It's meant to organize and communicate. It's nothing really profound. But what is profound is for you to answer this question. What is my next step? I think God's going to use us in 2025 in profound ways. But really, most of that does not start with just our plan as a congregation, things we want to do and accomplish, although there certainly are those things. But a lot of it is going to depend on us as individuals. What is my next step? What is your next step in following Jesus? Now, we do that together, but we can't decide that for one another. We do it in community, but that's an individual decision. We can discern that with one another, but ultimately I have to answer that question. What is my next step? As you reflect on your own personal year, not just what's gone on here at Northeast, ask yourself that question this morning. What is your next step? I can tell you one thing we are doing in 2025. One thing we are doing is we're kicking off with a series in January. It'll be the first 3 weeks of the new year, a sermon series, and there'll be additional materials in the bulletin and in our Northeast News to kick off the year with 21 days of prayer where we commit, those who are willing to commit to praying with one another as we begin the year, asking some of these questions. Maybe you're not going to figure it all out. It's a big rush right now. I know you've got many Christmas parties planned. You've got maybe plans to travel or people coming in, and maybe you don't have enough headspace to think about that. What is my next step in 2025? And so as we start the year, we're going to do a series on prayer to remind us of some healthy practices of prayer. Not totally different what we did 2 years ago. But also be able to prepare ourselves for the coming year. Pray in the year, if you will, with one another. And that'll be the goal of that series and our goal of some guided material that we put out in the bulletin and in the Northeast News, and to do that together. So this morning as we wrap up, I want to leave you with that question to think about. What is your next step?